Almighty God, you are holy, so strong and mighty. You died and rose again with all power in your hands. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing your praise. Beautiful Lord, seated high and above, capture my heart and adore me with your love. Captivated by you, oh Lord, you are my one and sole desire. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, most holy one. You are my friend and King, my Savior, Lord, most holy one. You died with all power in your hands. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing your praise. Beautiful Lord, seated high in the clouds,
telling you, it's a wonderful thing to be alive. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you. I welcome you to the Woman to Woman to Man show on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. I thank everybody for calling in and those who are listening via the switchboard, the chat room. I want to welcome you today. Amen. We're having open lines today. The lines will be open. We will be discussing various topics. We will be discussing various topics, including the kingdom of God, domestic violence, what it means to be a warrior on the front line, other topics that may be on your heart. You are going to be asked to call in. You will be asked to call in and let your voice be heard on what God is saying to you during this season. I have, Dr. Aubrey Gregory, who's going to call in, and he's going to talk about the kingdom of God. So I'm excited about what God is going to say through the man of God. I want to open in prayer because we're going to be discussing some things on today that may be tough. Amen. We're going to just take the gloves off and do some real talk. If this is your first time here, you have to know that I'm into really talking the real facts, you know, getting the truth out there, declaring what thus says the Lord, and also declaring what's on our hearts for real. You know, we have to get beyond being in sincere and authentic and two-faced it. Amen. So we have to get to the point where we are saying what we mean and meaning what we say. So I'm excited about what God is going to do today. I want to open and pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name. We thank you for this time that you have allowed us to come together. I thank you for everybody in the chat room. I thank you for those, Father God, who all have already called in, God. I thank you, Father God, for those, Father God, who will come. And Lord, I just ask, Father God, that you let your Holy Spirit be in this place and that you will reign in this place on today on this broadcast, that you will, Father God, open the eyes of the blind, set the captives free, Father God, loose those, Father God, who may be caught up in a domestic violence situation, Father God. Father God, and just give us more insight into your kingdom and what it really means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've been feeling some pressure, you know, and I just sense that there's been a sense of pressure in the lives of the people of God. So many of us are going through during this time, and God just wants you to be encouraged. God wants you to be encouraged on today. The Lord is speaking. He wants you to know that he is with you. I just hear God saying that I am with you. I am with you. It seems frustrating. There's a level of frustration some of you are going through. I just feel it so deeply in my spirit that some of you are going through some frustration and some, almost to the point where you're feeling anxious. And God says not to be anxious for anything. He doesn't want you to be anxious for anything. He says to trust in him. He says put your trust in him, because in due season, he's going to manifest his promises in your life. I don't know who that's for, but somebody out there, you're believing God for some things, and it just doesn't seem like it has manifested yet. And God says that this is the season, this is your season, and this is the season that he's going to show himself mighty in your life. He's going to show himself mighty. There's some things, there's some promotion on the horizon. There's some blessings that God has coming your way, and there are some things that have been withheld from you that are about to be released. So the Lord says, if you stay faithful, if you stay diligent, if you do not quit, that you will reap the harvest. You will reap the harvest that he has put before you. You've been prophesied to, you have believed God, you have your faith in God, and you have been walking with God, and God said, because of your faithfulness, he is going to release the harvest in your life. Amen. Amen. So receive that word on today and get ready. Get ready, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of a man that he would repent. and change his mind about what he had said about you. Yeah, I felt that burden has been released, so I know that it was a true word, a sure word from the Lord. Well, again, I want to welcome you, and I want to invite you to call in as we begin to talk. We just came out of a powerful, powerful conference, Warriors on the Front Line. Wonder Power, Warriors on the Front Line, and it was powerful. The Spirit of the Lord was in the church. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord was in the church. Women were set free. Souls were saved. Lives were changed. Women were blessed. And that was my prayer. You know, going in, I asked God. I said, God, the only thing that I ask of you during this conference is that you bless the women. I just ask that you bless the women that will come. And God did that. He answered that prayer. He blessed the women. He met the budget. We didn't have to worry about money. The women sold generously. And the word was rich. Friday night, Prophetess Angie Singletary preached, suit up. Suit up. Amen. We have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to suit up, amen. And she preached that word. It was a powerful word. And we came out of that service ready to take on the front line. And then on Saturday, Dr. Virginia Booth preached, don't be a wimp, but be a warrior. And again, another powerful word. The Spirit of the Lord moved so mightily. And we came out of there with a war cry, hallelujah. Pastor Alicia Cooper came and she ministered in song. It was just powerful. And Sunday I preached, what you going to do? Now that we have all of this information, now that we've been in power, now that we know that we are warriors on the front line, what are you going to do when the devil comes for you, when the enemy comes into your camp? Again, three powerful messages, powerful praise and worship by Pastor Alicia Cooper, powerful dance ministry by Lady Jamila A. Rawls over from New Day Ministries up in Montclair, powerful song ministry by Pastor Allen. It was just powerful the whole weekend. And all of the DVDs and CDs will be available soon, real soon. So stay tuned for the announcement on that. Amen. So, again, you can begin to call in 646-652-4832, and we're going to begin to talk about some of the topics that I talked about that we were going to discuss on today. Our first caller has already raised their hand, and we're going to put this caller on the air so that we could. The phone lines are full. I want to again thank you all for coming every week, every Saturday. I thank you for getting the word out about this broadcast. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for posting the archives on your Facebook pages. You all are helping me. You are being a partner with me and my husband and getting the word out about the kingdom of God. Amen. We are advancing the kingdom of God, and I just thank God for each and every one of you that participate in spreading the news, the good news, spreading the gospel, amen, and spreading the news about this broadcast, and for calling in and talking to me. I thank God that I'm not lonely here every Saturday talking to myself, but stay put. Text somebody. Get on the phone, tweet somebody, Facebook somebody, let somebody know, Instagram somebody, send a picture, let somebody know about the Women to Women to Man show, amen, not just for women, but men also, and for warriors on the front line. What does it mean to be a warrior on the front line? Well, we're getting ready to find out what is the kingdom of God really about. Well, we're getting ready to find out. We're getting ready to take our first caller. Amen. And I believe I know who this is. I believe this is Dr. Aubrey Gregory, area code 201. You are on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Man show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad, and it's a privilege to be on with you guys.
Amen, amen. I thank you so much for calling in. I'm excited. I am excited. It's amazing. I was just posting information about the broadcast today on Facebook, and I was posting all of the things that I was going to be talking about, domestic violence. I had posted that I was going to be talking about warriors on the front line, and then I got your call right in the middle of that, right in the middle of posting that, and I know that we had talked about the kingdom of God on yesterday, and I asked you to come and share. You were dropping some powerful, powerful wisdom from the Lord on me yesterday, and I was so blessed, and I asked you, would you come back and share with our listeners about the kingdom of God. So when you called me today and said that you were going to be available, I was like, yes. So I immediately went ahead and added the kingdom of God to the agenda of things, because I know that you won't be able to stay the whole 2 hours. So I really want to take this first hour and talk about the kingdom of God. So I immediately went ahead and added the kingdom of God to the list of things that we would be talking about today. And I thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to call in and talk to us about the kingdom.
Well, as I said earlier, it's a blessing. I thank the Lord that you have a program such as yours. Woman to Woman to Man, I think is the name of the program. And
yes, it's a man.
It's needed, and it is a blessing. As we were speaking on yesterday, I heard or sensed that there's a real hunger out there for understanding some of the things that we'll be discussing. I know that what understanding God's plan did for me was to cause me to be highly committed, even beyond anything that I'd previously known in terms of the commitment level. And it also imparted to me a great excitement and sense of adventure when I came to really, really understand what God's plan is, as revealed in His Word. And over the last couple of years, I've been sensing in my spirit that the Lord is really pulling for maturity in the body of Christ. We're like children virtually. We come through phases and cycles of growth and development and understanding. And again, as children will sometimes think that we have arrived. And then a parent has to say to us, well, you think you've grown, but you're not. They know that we don't know what we don't know. And so they're patient with us as we grow and develop. And sooner or later, we come into more broader understandings and depth of understandings of things that pertain to life. And the church, the body of Christ, is on a similar track of growth and development. And we have a long ways to go. We do. We have a long ways to go. The more you learn, the more you understand how much you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's exciting, and it causes thirst and hunger, as you know the scripture says, he that hungereth and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So there's a real hunger out there, I'm sure, among many of our listeners today, and I just want to share with you just a brief snippet of a couple of things that would bring a little bit more clarity for all of us. The first thing is, the question that I would ask, and I'm the one that asks questions that nobody else wants to ask, what is God up to? What is he trying to do? Is he trying to get us to escape the earth and leave it to pull it through space and be destroyed, and he's taking us someplace else? Is that what he's up to? Is he trying to get enough people to not go to hell? all of those are valid questions. And the thing I found out about the Lord, you can ask him any question. He's well adjusted within himself and his own self-image, that he's not upset about any question that we could ask. And so I would encourage everyone to begin to question. That would be a show of, to the Lord, you know, of hunger and thirst. Begin to question, and God will be coming forth. He won't chastise us for asking questions. He will say, well, okay, I will tell you now or I will tell you later, just like a parent does. However, if we want to know what he's up to, we go back to the very first book in the Bible, and that's the book of Genesis. In the very first chapter, there is an incident where Jesus speaks to a family. I'm sorry, the Father. God speaks, the Godhead speaks to a family. And we may want to call this family the Adam family for want of a better name. But he speaks to them and he gives them, and it says, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Let's look at what God is not saying. God is not inviting them to the beauty of sex when he said multiply. Although that's a beautiful thing. He was not inviting them or giving them permission to eat fish and chicken and beef. When he said have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves. What God was doing, God was giving them authority to rule over the earth. And that included everything that's in the earth, which includes the fish, the fowl, every living thing, and they were to subdue the earth. They were to have dominion. And dominion is a very powerful word because authority goes with dominion.
Yeah.
One cannot have dominion without authority. And so authority is implied. And we know the story, most everyone does, that they were instructed what to do and what not to do in their environment. There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were told not to partake of that tree. However, there was more than one tree. It was a tree of life as well.
Yeah.
They had permission to take part of that. But Satan deceived the woman first, and consequently both of them fell into the same predicament. And what happened was, in that incident, Adam and Eve actually surrendered their authority to Satan.
Jesus.
And from that moment, it was a very strategic and legal move on the part of Satan. Everything that has to do with God is judicial, because he is the judge, not a judge, the judge. He is the author. He is the sovereign. And his rulings are righteous. And so Satan understood what would happen, what would be the consequence, and he tricked them, and he therefore, from that moment on, had authority in his hands that belonged to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve representing us, because they are our foreparents. Now, that's where the problem started. So ever since then, Adam and Eve had to go about building life on the earth without the authority and understanding and knowledge that they needed to build righteous systems and institutions and societies. They just didn't have it. And Satan, wherever there was an opportunity, he put himself and or his influence in place. So up until Jesus' arrival on the earth, Satan continued to have authority over man. Man was bound. Sin was abiding on him, and he could not get free on his own. Then what happened? The scripture says that the Son of Man, Luke 19:10, is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, popular interpretations of that scripture have it applied to souls being saved. And in fact, that's incorrect. What was lost? The authority.
That's good.
That's what was lost.
Mm.
Jesus came and he retrieved that authority back from Satan by virtue of his proving himself a son, going to the cross in obedience and laying his life down, and then demonstrating powerful resurrection and ascendancy to the right hand of the Father. So Jesus took back the authority, freed us from sin. We were bound, so we're able to operate under and in that authority. So when Jesus was on the earth, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, not simply the gospel. It was a particular gospel. We see that in Matthew 23, came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He went through the synagogues and all through Galilee and in other cities and towns and villages, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is more than simply personal salvation. You know,
yeah.
It's much larger than
yes.
my personal salvation. It speaks of a kingdom, which implies that there's a king, and it implies that there's a domain.
Mm.
And a king has to have a domain, and a domain needs to have a king, or someone that's in charge of it. That's why it's defined as a domain. So Jesus came preaching all about that. And we see him several times. He mentioned the kingdom more than he did the church. He only mentioned the church twice. But he spoke extensively about the kingdom. So fortunately for us, we're blessed that this is resulting in a kingdom and not simply just church.
yeah. And you know what? I want to stop you right there and have you talk about that, because we talked about the church versus the kingdom, and you mentioned that a lot of people think that the church and the kingdom are the same thing because we interchange those two words in our discussions when we're talking about God and we're talking about the things of God.
You're correct. That is what happened. In churchdom, or in church circles, the word kingdom and the word church is pretty much normally interchanged, implying that it's the same thing. That's not borne out in the scriptures. What is borne out in the scripture is that the church is quite different, and it's a separate entity from the kingdom. And I'll hasten to explain. The first person and the first time the word church was used, Jesus used it in his conversation with the disciples, in particular with Peter. And he says, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the word church there, we have to remember that Jesus did not speak English.
That's good. Yeah, we do have to remember that. That's right.
Right. He did not speak English. So the word church is not what he used. He used the word ekklesia. That's a Greek word, and those who would have heard him on that day, or if he was on CNN that evening being interviewed about what he said earlier, every one of his hearers would have understood that he was talking about a particular situation. The ecclesia was a group of people that met in the gates of the city and to make decisions for the entire city, decisions about economics, about governing, about representation, about whether or not to go to war. All of those things they dealt with. They called the shots. That's the ecclesia, translated in English, the church. So Jesus understood and grew up seeing this group of individuals in every city operating to run the affairs of the community. And they took care of the economics. They were involved in all of that, made all of the significant decisions that pertain to all of life in the city or in the community. And they would meet in the gates about 40 times a year. And so Jesus was the first one to use the word church or ecclesia in the context of kingdom. He was the first to do that. So he said, okay, I will build my ecclesia. In other words, he saw other ecclesias. He says, I'm going to build my own.
My own. My God, yes, yes.
So what he had in mind then was a group of people or a collection of people that had powerful influence to make decisions that affected all of life.
Mm. Yeah,
not just meet on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're following me, sir? So the whole idea was that if he is going to have the kingdom that he believes that he's entitled to, ultimately, because if you look in the second Psalm, around verse 8, 9, around there, 6, 7, 8, 9, you see it's speaking of Jesus. It didn't mention his name, but we know it had to be him because he's his son. It says the Father said me. And who is me? It wasn't me. It was, you know, it was the Son, Jesus, and it's covenant language. And so because of the prophet David, we were able to eavesdrop on the conversation that happened among the Trinity way back in eternity, where they made a covenant that the Son was to ask the Father for the nation. And the Father would give it to him. He says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations and the utmost parts of the earth for possession. That's a very Hebrew perspective where the Father always wants the Son to take over his business.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, that's the goal. And so that's covenant. So they followed through on the covenant. The Son came to the earth and presented himself in the flesh and endeavored to prove himself a son. Ultimately, that's what we all have to do.
God, come on. Yes. Exactly.
Now if it sounds to anyone out there like, wait a minute, I thought I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, I speak in tongues, I'm sanctified, and all I got to do is hang out till Jesus comes.
No.
I got to do some work. Well, yeah, he did say throughout the word himself, and it's implied throughout the word that we have a job to do, and I'll be a little bit more explicit at that in a minute. So he's done his part in following through on the covenant agreement that he had with the Father and the covenant agreement that the Trinity has among itself. And so he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Wow. Well, hold right there, Dr. Orby. We have a hand raised. This is actually my husband calling in. I know he's out on the road, and his hand has been raised for a minute. So let's just put him on the air. Honey, God bless you. God bless you. You're on the air. How are you doing? I know you've been out all morning. So what's going on? Welcome to the broadcast today.
Amen. I'm just blessed by the man of God, as he's just given so much godly insight and wisdom as it pertains to the mind of God. And even at the outset, he, you know, it was so wonderful just gauging where the body of Christ is overall, where some people really do feel as though they have a hold on what God is up to. And in this hour, we really do need the mind of God. So I love that this is being talked about today, because many times we get so bogged down or so burdened with our daily problems, whether it be finances, marriages, parenting, even the duties of the church as it relates to the communities that we're trying to serve. But, you know, I just wanted to ask him as he moves forward, you know, what's going on with the churches and pastors and congregations where they can make this transition to realize that the kingdom agenda should be in the back and in the front of our minds at all times. Because again, we forget, because we get so preoccupied or so overwhelmed with daily living that sometimes we do forget while we're saved, while we're sanctified, while we're born again believers. And there is a bigger agenda than our churches and in our own daily personal lives. So I just would like him to address that, how the churches and the congregations and the people of God can kind of make that transition and do become more mature in the things of God.
Well, I would say, you know, Paul reminded us that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for reproof, instruction, correction, et cetera, et cetera. That's where the church or any church, any assembly, any church family, any pastor has to begin by revisiting the scripture. And, you know, my gifting is that of a teacher. I'm not a preacher. Every once in a while, you know, a preaching might come on or something like that, but you'll find me teaching most of the time, and because that's my particular gifting. And when I let the scripture speak, as opposed to me reading into the scripture what I have heard and not test it. And I suggest to people, particularly in this season, that we must be like the Bereans. We must go and search the scripture to see if what was said is so.
Yes, yes.
I'm flattered if somebody comes behind me and search the scripture to see if what I said is so. You know, I wouldn't feel put upon or attacked or discredited. No, I want to know. I want folks to see in the scripture. So once they see it there, they own it. They just can't say, well, Pastor Gregory said it. Well, it shouldn't end there. We should go and search the scripture. And what has happened traditionally is that people have heard teachings as such and not questioned it.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on where,
I like Pastor Gregory. He's my pastor. He said it, so that means it's all right.
He's
the rubber stamp, ultimately, and it shouldn't be ultimately. The Word of God ultimately is the Word of God, and that has last say. Last say. And
exactly.
The condition that my brother is describing is a result of the lack of scholarship or work in really looking at the scriptures, and that's what I learned to do. I learned to search the scripture, question the scripture, you know, try to get some depth of understanding below what appears, so that the book, the Bible, is an Eastern book. It's not a Western book. It's from the East. And it has a language all its own, in that when words were spoken or written, they were written to audiences that readily recognize some things that we won't readily recognize, because we are cultured in the West. We are, our whole understanding of things is based on Greek philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to get back to the kingdom. I basically want to get back to the kingdom because this I was moving so rapidly. But basically, and that's good, that we have to study to show ourselves approved. Great question, honey. You know, we just have to get to the point where we are, again, searching the scripture. The Bereans did it. They didn't just take anything that you said, but they went back and they searched the scriptures. And we have to be like the Bereans and not like the Pharisees, who searched the scriptures, find out all about God. But then when they found out what they found out, they didn't believe it. You know, they didn't believe. Jesus talked to them about that. He said, you read the scriptures and, you know, you say you believe Moses, but you can't, because you don't even believe me. And I'm standing here in front of you, and I'm paraphrasing. But the thing about it is that we have to have a certain level of faith, and we have to believe the scriptures. But not only do we have to believe the scriptures from what we're being heard, what's being heard by our preachers and our pastors, but we have to search the scriptures. You know, in order to be kingdom, you know, you talked about it, Dr. Orbe, you talked about the dominion and authority that has been given to every believer. And we have to get to the point, like I was talking about my conference last weekend, where we were talking about being warriors on the front line, but we have to know what it really means to be a warrior. What are you fighting for? You know, there's the scripture that talks about the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. You know, we got to understand, what is it? Like you talked about, Jesus came to seek and find and give back, take back the authority that Adam and Eve had given to the devil, had given to Satan. So what is it that we're fighting for? What is this war really about? What is this struggle really about? And I believe it's about the government of Jesus Christ, you know, the government of Christ in his kingdom.
Exactly. For those who may find it difficult to understand what we mean by kingdom, if we think of it this way, the government of God.
Yeah.
Now, the kingdom is not a location. The kingdom of God is it's dominion that Christ has, because he is the king. And wherever the will of God is being responded to positively, should, then the kingdom of God is there. It is intended that the kingdom of God would cover the earth, not in the future sometime, and all of a sudden one night we wake up and it happens like a thief in the night. That's not what we're talking about. When Jesus returns, when Christ returns, he's coming back to a kingdom. He's not bringing a kingdom with him. He's coming back to his rightful place. So the difference between the church and the kingdom is simply this. The church represents and advances the cause of the kingdom.
That's good. Yeah, that's it right there.
Exactly.
The church,
now, the
say that again. Say that again. The church does what?
The church advances and represents the cause of the kingdom. It's like the Marines in Afghanistan. They're not the U.S. government. They're there representing and advancing the cause and interests of the U.S. government. It's that clear,
yeah.
And it's that simple.
Yeah.
We're the Marines. We're the Marines. We're in the kingdom, but we're not the kingdom.
Yeah, that's good. And let's break it on down, because you have some listeners, and I want the listeners to begin to feel like you begin to call in 646-652-4832. But let's break it on down, though, Dr. Aubrey, because a lot of people might be saying, well, you know what, that's too technical for me. You know, the church represents and advances the kingdom of God, but what does that have to do with me? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go, like you talked about earlier, I go to church every day, every week. I bring forth my tithes to the house of the Lord. I'm working in the house of the Lord. I'm working in the kingdom. Or maybe I don't go to church, but I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus came and lived and died so that I can have life more eternally. What does all this kingdom talk have to do with me? How am I supposed to respond to this?
Well, the way all of us are supposed to respond is to come away from the whole idea that what God's plan is about saving me. It's not about me. It's about Him. You know, we've seen salvation as this personal adventure where it's all about me trying to escape and make sure I go to a place called heaven. But Jesus taught His disciples to pray this way. He says, "Thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven." In heaven, there isn't but one will, and that's the will of the Father. That's all there is. They're not billions of wills running around with their own agenda. And so that is what the kingdom is, where there be complete submission. So we could look at it this way. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in Christ to subdue all His enemies. That's another way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Wherever His will is not being done, that's enmity with God. Now, how does me or you participate now that we are understanding a little bit more? Okay, I work for Prudential, let's say. I work for Prudential Insurance Company. I'm representing that I'm a Christian. I'm under the will of God, so that makes that I'm in the kingdom.
That's good. To
the kingdom will. So the job that I do at Prudential, everything about it would be representing principles or functional principles of the kingdom of God. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to cheat anybody out, you know, whatever it is. In other words, God wants us to change the marketplace. That's what the ecclesia does. We change the marketplace. But what has happened traditionally with the church, we've been building church. Rather than advancing the cause of the kingdom, what I mean by that is people in church get trained to function in church, not out in the marketplace.
Wow. So
that's where we've left the marketplace to Satan, and now we're wondering, well, why things are the way they are. It's because we're not in the place we ought to be.
Wow, see, I've never heard that. And then that's good. People in the church are being trained to function in the church and not in marketplace. And there's some churches, because you do have some churches. Yeah, I mean, I believe that is true to an extent, but I can't put all churches, you know, maybe the majority, but I can't put the baby out with the bathwater, because there are a lot of churches that are training up the folk to be kingdom minded. In other words, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Romans 12:1-2 talks about submitting ourselves as living sacrifices and being not conformed to the things of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I believe that, Dr. Orphy, that there are a lot of word churches out there that are building on the principles of the doctrine of the kingdom, you know, and that those principles are being used to help the people to transform this way of thinking. And, you know, when we change our way of thinking, we change our way of acting, you know, because then now our actions become more conducive with kingdom. So there are a lot of churches out there who are doing that.
I agree, but the point that I'm making is that we're so yet far away from where we can be, and it's because we have not applied the word outside of the church. We haven't applied it in the marketplace. We don't understand it. We're to be involved in every aspect of life in our cities, in our world. Every aspect, not just the church life. There's spheres of authority that we are supposed to be in or should be in because we've been given dominion, but we have not taken that dominion from Satan. We have left it. We do not see our children running for office. We do not see our children running, being at the top of companies where decisions are made that are kingdom decisions, as opposed to the selfish materialistic perspective where people are just greedy and filling themselves. So they don't take the church seriously because the church is, you know, you can ignore the church. And we are not to be ignored. You can't ignore the Marines.
Yes.
You can't.
That's good. And we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what? I want to have, this is a good point right here because we're almost at the top of the hour for our listening audience to tune in on this topic. I want to begin to have the phone lines are full. The people have been listening for the past hour. And this is, like I said, this is deep, you know, it's deep. This is, you know, you get to the point where you get a revelation of what the kingdom really is and really is about and what we're supposed to be doing as kingdom citizens. It takes us into another realm. You know, we come out of the selfish realm and we go into the spiritual realm. You know, we come out of the soulish realm and we go into the spiritual realm. So it's no longer about, I mean, yeah, I'm saved. Thank God. I'm just so happy. I know. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm just so happy about that. But what am I going to do between here and heaven? You know, what do I do while I'm still here in the meantime? What do we do while we're still here? You know, how do we get beyond this daily struggle, like Pastor Anthony said? How do we get beyond this daily struggle of everyday life? You know, I mean, it's a sad commentary when we think about the fact that so many of us are still consumed with everyday living, you know, just making it through every day, that we can't even begin to think about kingdom. It's just become too lofty a goal for us because I'm still trying to pay my bills. I'm still, you know, working on my marriage. I'm still dealing with these children. You know, I'm still dealing with that person that continually wants to come against me. So how do we break out of that? Just before we take the call, I want you to begin to call in. Those of you on the phone lines, the number is 646-652-4832. Call in and let your voice be heard on this topic. Ask any questions that you might have. Add any commentary that you might have. It's open line today. But I want to ask you, Dr. Aubrey, how do we break free from the bondages of everyday living? How does this kingdom perspective change my everyday life? I mean, again, I know you said it's not about me, but I'm living this thing. You know, we're walking this thing out. How do I break free from the struggles of everyday living and step into the realm of kingdom and the government of Jesus?
Well, Jesus helped his disciples to do that, because, as you know, they ultimately became the apostles. And if we're going to become what God has created each of us uniquely to be, we've got to begin with the example that Jesus gave. He told them how to pray. We have to change our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
When our prayers are just about us and our needs, you go to the Lord's Prayer. I don't call it the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Disciples' Prayer, because to me the Lord's Prayer is Luke 17. But you go there and he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You come in with praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving. That's how you begin. Rather than go, "Lord, you know, I need this, I need that, I need that, I need that." That's usually where we are. We come and our prayers are self-centered. When our prayers change to becoming kingdom-centered, and Jesus taught us how to do that. So now we say, "Hallowed be thy name," and then we go, "Thy kingdom come. Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Not our to-do list, see, our want list, if you will, our needs list. "Thy kingdom come." He wants us to pray that because he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us that we would walk in those things. That's what he's doing. So, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Wherever the will of God is being done, his kingdom is there. And forgive us our trespasses. Now, once you begin to think kingdom, then it's easy for you to forgive the next person, because you realize that you're so blessed to be a part of the kingdom. You can have forgiveness. You want to give away forgiveness as well.
Yes, yes.
So we go back. I mean, Jesus set the pattern. He set the pattern. He didn't make this a mystery where we cannot achieve it. He actually came and walked it out so that we could see exactly what he did. Because the creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. And the word "sons" there is not it has nothing to do with biology. It's not a gender-specific term. It simply means it's waiting for the maturity. Again, it's a Hebrew perspective.
Yes, exactly. And that prayer also that you were just talking about, it does get to the point where we do ask God to give us today our daily bread.
Right. But notice the sequence. The kingdom of God is first.
Yes. Yes, you know, and that's Matthew 6:33 right there. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added unto you."
He told us, and then he did it. When we asked him, "Well, how do you pray?" He says, "Well, here's how you do it."
Wow. See, that's it. See, that's where scripture always comes together to verify itself, that as you seek first the kingdom of God, and God will even give you the desires of your heart, because he says, "Delight yourself in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart." And then long life, he says, "Because you delight in me, I will satisfy you with long life." So everything that we need, Pastor Anthony, you said this the other night, you said everything that we need, everything that we counter in this life, there's a word in the Bible for that. You know, everything that we can encounter, all of the problems, the difficulties. And if we would be kingdom-centered. So, Dr. Aubrey, would you agree that being kingdom-centered is being word-focused?
Well, the whole tenor of the Word of God from cover to cover is about a kingdom that is very real with a king that has precedent over everything else in existence.
Yes, yes.
Even my survival, it has precedence over that. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't survive and have our needs met, but there's a priority and that's revealed again in the Word of God, in the prayer, what the priority is. The priority is not my needs. Our society programmed us to believe that.
Yes.
God knows what my need is, even before I articulate it. But the kingdom, he says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and how? As it is in heaven. What it done on the earth like that? Well, the will of God on the earth is that all of us would prosper and we would have the victory. But that comes about with us taking authority.
Taking dominion. Taking back dominion that you started. You started when you first came talking about the dominion of Adam and Eve that he gave to Adam in the garden. He says, take dominion. And that dominion was handed over to Satan when there was a violation of God's word, his law, when he told us not to eat, not to eat of the fruit. So that dominion was handed over to Satan. But what you have said already is that it was given back to us, to those of us in the kingdom of God.
Well, hold it. Let me just bring clarity there quickly, because I know your time is going. What Jesus did was a legal act, a judicial act, by satisfying the requirements of God's righteousness, which had to be done, sin had to be covered by clean blood. Only he possessed the clean blood. We were damaged genetically, down to the DNA. We were damaged. That's why our blood could not survive.
Yes.
We get our X chromosome from our father, and we get our Y chromosome from our mother, and we get our Y chromosome from our father. That chromosome was not in the mix when Jesus was born. Okay, I know I'm pushing this a little bit, but...
Right, exactly. You get ready to go real deep, because that's basically what it is. That's why he had to be born of a virgin.
Our blood was dirty. It was tainted, so to speak.
Right, exactly.
Okay, now that, it took that kind of blood to satisfy the judicial requirements of the Father. Judicial,
yes.
Okay? Now, Jesus stripped Satan of the authority, the legal authority. We have to go and stop him. We're the ones that gave the authority to him. We have to go back and claim it back.
Take back the authority from Satan.
Right. It doesn't belong to him anymore. Judicially, he is disqualified.
Yes.
But we have to take dominion, and that's what Jesus was saying when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell are every place where Satan has set up dominion.
And good. So now we're right where I need to be, where I was, what I was saying earlier. That's the everyday struggle. That's the everyday life where Satan has come in to steal, kill, and destroy whatever he's come to kill, steal, and destroy in the life of a believer, to get the believer focused on their everyday circumstances and to get their mind off of the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible tells us to keep our mind stayed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because we now have become circumstance focused, and that's where a lot of defeat is coming in. Because why, and that's my question, if we have so much dominion, why are we, you know, so many Christians suffering from so much defeat? You know, that's what my whole thing was about, the warriors on the front line. You know, either we're going to fight and we have another call, either we're going to fight or we're going to, you know, run, or we're going to wimp out. So we have to stand up and fight. Let's take this caller. See what's on this person's mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Area code 773, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Man show. Let your voice be heard.
God bless you, Pastor. How are you?
God bless you. Pastor Larry Carton.
This is he.
From Chicago. God bless you, my brother. How are you?
God bless you. All is well. All is well.
Amen.
I am thoroughly enjoying your program. But as I was listening, you began to perk up something in my spirit, because I believe one of the greatest challenges we face in Christianity is the trust factor. Christians really have a hard time trusting the Word. They have a hard time believing God and taking God for exactly what His Word has already declared. Now, the writer declared that in all our ways to acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. The problem with Christians is that the enemy has got us so distracted with our present circumstances and situations that we forget to keep looking at God.
That's true.
Because I believe it was Job declared, he said, man born of a woman, days are few, and they're full of trouble. And then the Apostle Peter picked it up, and Peter, he said, think it not strange concerning these fiery trials, as though some strange thing has happened. And so we tend to focus more on what's going on instead of asking ourselves, what did the Word say? Because the truth is, because here's the reality of it. The devil does not need your house. He doesn't need your car. He definitely doesn't need your marriage. But what he is jockeying for, he is jockeying for position to see who holds first place in your life.
That's right.
Because the devil can't beat God. He's already experienced God's big right foot, so he knows he can't beat God. But what better way to come against a parent is to attack their children? And so if I can make your children think that you don't love them, then they won't call on you for help. And the truth is if there is a deficit in our trust, then there is a deficit in our faith. And the devil knows that, according to Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. How then do I call upon a God that I'm blaming Him for the problem? And like the brother was saying earlier, if we as God's children understood our seat of authority, and this is the problem, we don't understand where we sit, because Hollywood has made the devil always look bigger than God. I mean, you can look at any movie. I'm not sure if you remember the movie called The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Now, in this movie, the devil was the one who was giving the priest a fit. Now, here it is. This is God's man of faith and power who should have power over the devil, but the devil was wearing him out.
Yeah.
And the problem is, it's because we simply don't understand our seat of authority. When we talk about kingdom is the established order of God.
That's right.
It is God's order. It is God's desire that we reign. I was preaching out last week, and I told this church, I said, do you want to know why God made man from a dust? It's because God wanted to show the devil, I can take dust, and if I breathe my breath into dirt, I will give dirt more power than you.
My goodness. Wow.
Now, think about that, because the Bible says we are just dust. But here's the thing. We are dust that's full of the Holy Ghost. We are dust that's full of God's pneuma, God's breath. And so when God breathed into us, we became just like Him. Now, if you look at the sequence that happened in the book of Genesis, now follow the sequence here. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created. Now, we know that when God creates anything, God does a complete work. What we see in verse 2 is we see the destruction. And so something happened between verse 1 and verse 2 that brought destruction.
Right.
But if you see, as you keep going, God did what? The Bible said, God said, God said, God said. He saw it was good. But then in verse 26, He says, now let us make man after our image and after our likeness. And so God says, let me do something so that I can give him authority over and keep the devil in check. And so God said, I'll put me into a man, and I will give that man everything that I am. And if that man walk in me, he'll always be like me.
Right.
And so
right.
Peter picked it up in Philippians. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And
right.
So it is then, in fact, from our seat of authority, that's what we don't understand. It's like a ruler can have, a ruler can be in charge, but not understand his seat of authority. And the Bible
yeah.
said in Galatians 4:1, he still bears nothing more than a slave or a servant,
right.
even though he's Lord of all. God gave us a power over the powers of the enemy to walk in the kingdom mindset. But because we still act like children, now the devil puts us back in the position of slaves. And this is
wow.
even the church folks can't advance because we don't know who we are. You see, it is not that we're not kings and priests, but we don't know it yet.
Wow.
And so the devil has blinded the eyes of our understanding. And so because we are blind, we don't see where we are. And the truth is, if I don't see where I am, I may be it, I may have it, but I don't know I have it.
Right.
And
right.
I tell you what, if you want to ever keep a person blind, have them read the Bible. Because this is one of the things the church folks don't do. We have
right.
moved away from reading God's word.
That's right.
You know, I heard a story of a pastor. He said, my son was in college and called home and said, Daddy, send me some money. The pastor said, son, read the Bible. He said, Daddy, but you don't understand. He said, son, I know. Read the Bible. He said, Daddy, it's urgent. He said, son, read the Bible. And so the problem was the boy had the money, but the father put the money in the Bible.
Yeah.
Had he simply opened up the book, the money would have fell out. And
right.
this is what happened to many Christians. We have the Bible. We're coming to church, but we're not reading and we're not listening. And so because that word did not take root in the soul of our souls,
yes.
we sin against God because now we don't trust him. We
yeah.
don't trust him. And you cannot pray to a God earnestly and you don't trust him. The Bible is clear in Jeremiah 29. He says, God said, if you seek me, you shall be found of me.
Yeah.
So the question is, how come the church don't go back to seeking God? It's because we don't
yeah,
trust him.
Yeah, good question.
We don't trust him. We
wow.
don't trust him.
How many believers out there, people of God, that will go to church tomorrow and then, you know, have a great time tomorrow and leave their place of worship tomorrow and go to their place of work or labor and with the idea and strong conviction that they have authority and they're there to be a blessing to their employer?
Wow. Well, very few, because I don't believe that's something that's being taught on a regular basis, which brings me back to my point. Well, in response to what Pastor Larry Sarton was saying, a lot of people don't read their Bible. There is a lack of trust. And you both talked about this. You both pointed out that there was a lack of maturity amongst the saints in the church. Like, there is a lack of maturity where we, we're pastors, all of us on this line so far are pastors, and we have another caller coming in. But we're pastors. How much responsibility do we have to make sure that the people are not idolizing us and we're not preaching for applause, but we're preaching for effect? And the people are really being fed the pure manner of the word of God that they are being taught. And I know your teacher, Dr. Orpin, your teacher, Pastor Larry, but also this is a clarion call for all preachers to make sure that we are preaching the unadulterated word of God, that we are preaching the people of God. We are teaching and training the troops
right.
for war, and not only for war, but for effectiveness in the kingdom of God, that we can go from the kingdom of God into the kingdoms of this world and take dominion even there.
Right.
So I don't know if somebody, we're going to take your call at 757. I see your hand. I don't know if one of you wanted to touch that and respond to that.
Well, you know, Pastor, I would love to, because here's what I believe has happened in the church world, that pastors, we have made the people, and it's our fault. We have made them become dependent on us instead of pushing them toward God.
Say that again.
We have messed the church up. Now, I'm all for laying hands. The Bible said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. But what we have done is that we have got them dependent on us more than God. I tell our church, I said, my only job is to lead you toward God. You don't have to wait until I come to start believing. Because the same Holy Spirit that's in me is the same one that's in you.
But there is a church culture that, you know, we have to encounter the culture of the world and transform it. But that work really, really, the same kind of work is necessary in the church as the church is presently. Because there's a church culture that conspires against even what you're expressing, Pastor, the idea that, you know, hands can be laid without you doing it, you know. But folk, you know, I will have people come up to the altar for prayer.
Right.
And if then I'll have the elders or deacons help out. If I lay hands on them, they don't feel like they get prayed for. You see what I'm saying? It's a, there is a culture. And then another aspect about the culture, and this is going to open up a whole other can of worms for our listeners to deal with at some point. You don't see in the word clergy and laity.
Mm-hmm.
And what that has done is given a license for those who would consider themselves clergy to accept and receive the admiration and accolade and excuse the laity from exercising their gifts.
Right.
And so that's part of the church culture, and that's what has gone on. That's accepted. Now, anybody that's going to go against that, the grain of that, has an uphill struggle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I know I've been trying to do that. I don't even like the word clergy. There's nothing wrong with the word. But the implications of it is that I'm clergy, I clergy, you lay to, you lay down.
Wow.
And they do.
You know, that excuses you. I
and
want
they
you,
lay down. And that's the problem.
I want you to use your gifts. God gave you something to bless all of us.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're right.
Yeah, that is opening up another can of worms. Pastor Andy, I know, are you still with us?
I'm still here. I'm on the listening in today, and I just want to throw this question out because we do have a lot of listeners and people who will pull up the archive. Again, we're all pastors, but how much is personal accountability? When I think about the Book of Hebrews, that entire list was kingdom minded. They had a kingdom agenda, and it said many of them not receiving the promises, but afar off. They still did the will of God. And he opens up Hebrews 12 saying, since we have such a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that so easily besets us. So I know pastors have a part, but how much does the congregation or the individual has a part to lay down that sin and that weight?
Oh, Pastor, 100%. They have 100%. Because here's what the Bible tells us to do. As pastors, God has told us to teach them, to lead them. But you cannot lead where a person does not want to go. I can tell you what the word says. I can give it to you in Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. I can give it to you. I can philosophize. I can doctrinize it. But if you don't want to receive it, I can't make you. Because here's what Jesus said. Jesus said that affliction comes because of the word. And so when the word is sown, the enemy's job is to come and to put as much fire on you to contradict what the word says. But now let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith because he is faithful that made the promise. And so our job as clergy, and this took me a long time, because I've been preaching for a good little while, but it took me a long time to realize that it's not my responsibility to make them receive. Because I can preach it, but we cannot make them receive. The Bible said, Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And so I can come to your house, you can fix a big dinner, but you can't make me eat. You follow what I'm saying?
We see examples of the church in the wilderness. We cannot, as leaders, we would love to. Many times we're tempted to. However, the fact is that it's not possible for us to choose the heritage of the people. We saw that in Israel. We saw that the whole nation has had a heritage in the promised land. But two of the tribes chose not to go across and possess.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them. They stayed on the near side of the Jordan. And Joshua had to make a deal with them. Say, you come over and help us fight. You can come back and camp here. You know, because they thought where they were was good. And there are people in the church that choose that way. And it's regrettable as we watch as pastors and shepherds. But it's one of those things that we have to live with. We cannot choose the heritage of the people. They have to choose.
Exactly.
In other words, what you're saying, and there are so many people listening, for those of you who are listening who are not preachers or pastors right now, especially pastors, because pastors have to give an accountability to God, you know, even of the souls of the people that have been assigned to that house. But those of you who are not pastors and you're saying, well, you know, they're talking about me, you know, but yes, because this is out of the heart of a shepherd, you know, that we have to even let you see the pastor's heart so that you will know why your pastor is so adamant sometimes about you coming to church, or why your pastor will say, come to Bible study, or come to prayer, you know, or read your own word, or pray on your own, because these things are tantamount to your growth as a spiritual being and as an ambassador in the kingdom of God, you know, as a representative of God's kingdom,
right.
You know, because, and it's tantamount to your survival, because as you heard Pastor Larry say earlier, the devil's going to do everything he can to stop you from gaining a full perspective of your rightful position in the kingdom of God, of who you really are. The devil does not want you to know who you are. He wants to keep you bamboozled. He wants to keep you feeling like you're defeated. He wants to keep you feeling like the pastor is the only person who can read and understand the Bible. But you're not like that Ethiopian that Philip ran across on the road. You have been enlightened. You have received the unction. You have received the Holy Ghost, the anointing, and that anointing will give you revelation of the Word of God as you open your Bible. So you're not helpless or ignorant when it comes to the things of God. The same understanding that we have, we're just people. We know that God's given an assignment, but we put on our pants one leg at a time. We have to get up, we pray. We read the Bible not just to find something to preach, but for personal edification.
That's right.
And by the same token, that's what we're saying. You know, our heart is that you would do this on your own, that you would become equipped for the battle. And another thing, Pastor Larry, you talked about the fact that people don't trust God. I think a lot of the problem also, guys, is that we sometimes don't believe how real Satan is.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think that's a huge problem, that we really don't. We say the devil's a liar, the devil's on my feet, Satan, get behind me. But I don't think that we as Christians really believe in the magnitude of the hatred and the attack, the warfare of Satan.
In our modern society, which we are a modern society here compared to some others, that's, you know, our whole thing is science and technology is our salvation. And so the idea of a malevolent being and spirit or spirits is not a healthy idea for someone who would represent themselves as being very intelligent and sane. Now,
yeah.
In other cultures where the supernatural and the natural intermingle all the time, people intuitively understand what is going on. They have some understanding that the spiritual realm is real, the light side and the dark side. That's why missionaries go to Africa and they see much more miracles than they do here.
Right.
Because people already understand. But I just want to say one last comment about the what I said about the two tribes that did not go into their heritage. There's a price to be paid for staying on the wrong side of your heritage. There's a price to be paid. And you know, we were asking, well, why are so many believers having such a difficult time? They may want to find out what their position is relative to what God has given them as a gift, a church family, a pastor, and all of those, to help them get to their heritage. Because those two tribes, they paid for that decision.
Yes.
Here's how they paid. When the enemy came to attack Israel, they got attacked first. They were the tripwire. The enemy encountered them first because they were on the wrong side of the Jordan. So when we choose not to choose the right thing, doesn't mean that it's not a choice. It meant that we opted or defaulted to the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves us vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's no covering.
Yeah.
There's no covering. You're almost out there. Well, actually, you are. You're out there by yourself.
Right.
Because yeah. to choose the wrong side is to leave God. To not choose at all is to still leave God.
Right.
And when you do that, you are out there by yourself, and you are a front target for the devil. And like you say, what the devil does is that he makes sure that you have a limited time to get back to the right side. And when you choose to not move, he just takes you out. And the problem is he makes us blame God. Because we always say, well, if God loved us, why didn't God do something? And God says, I gave you a way out. You didn't take it. You see?
Yeah.
We always want to blame God for our lack of decision. And it's never God. It's always us.
That's right.
But the Bible is clear. He says, I've given you a way of escape. The problem is, will we take the way of escape? And when we don't, we suffer. And so this is why they suffered. Because the enemy, number one, didn't want them to go back and join hands with the other people in the other camp. And so
yeah.
I'll hit you first because you were the weak link. And so the devil knows what to do.
Yeah, and that's why we have to, you know, like you said, be in the right place as far as our heritage is concerned, and that's where I want to go now. And again, callers, you can tune in. Just press 1 if you're on the line and you want to let your voice be heard, or you can call in if you're listening in the chat room. I see Evangelist Cynthia Robinson and a few more people in the chat room, and you want to let your voice be heard on this topic. You can call in and let your voice be heard. Before we let you go, Dr. Aubrey and Pastor Larry, because I know you both are very busy, and I'm honored to have you both here with me on today. Pastor Anthony and I are honored. That's why my husband said, you know, I'm going to listen because, you know, these men of God don't come often, and he recognizes the wisdom that's coming forth from the two of you. But before we let you go, what are some of the – we've talked about the problem. Now, help us. You know, what are some of the things Christians can do to make sure that they gain their rightful heritage and that they're operating, walking in kingdom, and also not coming up against that first line attack of the devil? What do I need to do to put myself, make sure I'm in the right position?
Start reading the word.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes.
Start reading the word. When Jesus came up against the adversary, he didn't tell him what CNN said. He told him, man, it is written.
That's it.
You have to know for yourself. You can't know for the pastor can't know for you. Nobody else can know for you. You have to know that you know that you know, so that you're able to speak back to the enemy and into the situation. And you can only have that assurance from having seen it for yourself in the Word. You cannot let the pastor chewing and digesting for you. There's a role for the pastor, and all of that is a legitimate role. But we've got to he said, we've got to feed ourselves.
That's right.
We got to feed ourselves too. And so there's no magic and no miracle. And I know there's a lot of teaching and preaching out there that kind of throw out this idea that, you know, there's some kind of a magic going on with this whole thing. No, this is real combat.
That's right.
It's real combat. God forbid you're a Marine and you go out there sitting reading a comic book in enemy territory.
Gonna kill you.
You know,
wow.
You just die. Wow. You just get decimated. So
yes, sir.
It's real. The enemy does what he does, and he's faithful to it. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Nobody's ever going to be able to accuse him of not doing that.
Right.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
He's doing his job. Yeah.
Yes,
sir. He's doing his job.
And this is what the church is not doing. The enemy is. We always focus on the devil is busy. My question is, how about us? If we're God's children, if he's busy, why aren't we twice as busy as he is?
Well, the defense is a
powerful
offense.
So the first thing is start reading the word. So that's the first thing. So that's the first thing we have to do, start reading the word. And then what about the people who feel like, I mean, what about the people, okay, I guess these would be baby Christians who feel helpless, who feel like there's, you know, I want to represent everybody here today. What about the people, you know, the more mature Christian is more likely to pick up their word. We have a lot of mature Christians that listen, and they'll pick up their word, they'll read their word, and they'll be able to dialogue with you pertaining to the word of God. Then you have the Christian who's just, you know, making their way, they're a little bit more mature, they read their word sometimes, but not all of the time. But they could take that. But what about that baby Christian who says, you know what, I don't understand the Bible, and every time I try to read the Bible, I fall asleep. You know, I find the Bible, as a matter of fact, I find the Bible to be boring. You know,
yeah.
What about that person? What do you say to that young Christian, that very young Christian who does not have the discipline, that type of discipline?
A baby belongs inside of a family.
Yeah.
That's God's arrangement. We cannot do this solo. The scripture says he puts the solitary in families. Now, again, I'm guilty of opening up stuff. In our society, we get this idea because our society is so based on individualism that the individual is the basis of God's plan. No, it's the family.
Wow. Wow, that's good.
It's not the individual. Again, we're looking, you know, in a Jewish community, for example, and Jesus grew up as a Jew, you know, the person found their importance within the context of the community. If they weren't involved in the community, they had no importance.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby needs to be in a church family?
Exactly.
To be surrounded, that's right. Exactly.
They need to be shepherded. That's God's plan and system.
So can I go to any church? Can I go to your church this week, and can I go to Pastor Larry's church next week? Or what is it? Do I need to be in a specific
church? It sounds like you're homeless.
I'm sorry. You just made me laugh.
God don't want you to... Listen. God don't want you homeless. He doesn't want you to be an orphan. And there are people that are walking around with the orphan spirit. God does not shack up, and he doesn't date.
That's it. Come on.
Everything he does is covenant relationship.
Yes.
Covenant.
Yes, sir.
He's interested in marriage. Not in dating, not in shacking up, not in having a one-night stand.
Right.
Well, we bring all of that garbage into the church as a norm, expecting God to flip and go with that.
Right.
We have to get serious.
Yeah.
That's true.
And right, so I need to be rooted and grounded. So I need to find a the family that God has for me, and get planted in that family.
God will guide you. He knows what he's doing.
That's right.
If you believe in for salvation, believe in for church family.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because God knows exactly what you need. He knows.
Amen.
He knows your assignment. And God knows how to get you to the right place to be where you need to be to grow spiritually.
Exactly.
And so it, even for that baby Christian who's not disciplined, well, you don't have to know everything. And I think this is one of the challenges we're faced is some Christians come in and think that they have to know everything about the scripture. You don't. I tell our church, I say, listen, if you can find one scripture in the Bible and you major on that one, if you meditate on that verse every day and go before God, I guarantee you he will show you something different in that word every day of your life.
You go to it all.
You have to do it. And if I can say this, as the pastor was already saying, we have to read it, then we have to hear it. Bible says faith come by hearing. Number three, we have to meditate on it because that's how it becomes a part of us. Meditation helps us see it. Number four, to speak it because we generally believe what we say and we say what we believe. Then we have to be willing to pray it because of 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to his will, and then we have to be willing to act on it. And that's how we grow up mature spiritually. But the first part of reading the word is what most Christians don't do. And so if I don't pray it, I won't listen to it. If I don't listen to it, I won't meditate on it. If I don't meditate on it, I won't speak it. If I don't speak it, I won't pray it. And if I don't pray it, I sure won't act on it. It won't happen. And so it all starts with being willing to discipline ourselves to read it. Because we have to get our minds, literally have our minds watched. The Bible calls it renewed. With the word of God, because we have all that outside thinking, all that bad thinking, we have to defuse them, deprogram them to thinking the way of the scripture. But if you don't read, don't put it on me because you don't read. You see, I mean, it's like being in school and having a test. A test is going to come on Fridays. Now, the question is this. What makes a person afraid of the test on Friday? It is their lack of study on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But if I've already prepared for the test on Friday, I'm not scared on Friday because I've studied. Well, most folks don't even get into the study part. They don't want to read it. And so when the test comes, the word has no root. And so the affliction burns up what they thought they already knew. Because the real test of the word is not how much you can quote. It is how much you can live when life gets hot.
There's a fast food syndrome that has also infected the church that gave rise to the need for pastor say what he's saying. There's a
yes, sir.
Food, you know, where we, you know, you go to McDonald's, you as soon as you pull up to the board, they ask you, may I help you? You tell them, and by the time you drive around, it's ready back there.
That's
and
it.
We bring that syndrome into the church. We do not want to go through the discipline, the time that it takes.
That's right.
We don't mind the pastor. Yeah, he's full time. That's all he's supposed to be doing. I'm full time. I don't get to just sit in the word all day.
I know that's right. I wish, but you don't.
No, sir. We get to do that, and I don't know that anybody gets to do that. In fact, we get to walk through the word all the time because we got to be doing it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But. There's no shortcuts. There's none. We have to, you know, what you have your heart on, that's where your treasure is.
Yes.
You know, if we begin to make the Word of God and the things of God, you know, our treasure, then we become rich.
Yes.
People talk about wisdom and all that, and they hear me speaking. I tell them, look, I ain't that smart. You know, well, you hear the word. That's what's coming from.
Right.
I'm hardly that smart. The word makes you wise. You know,
yes.
it flows into you. it dissipates any darkness, it brings light, and that's what's inside of you. You become stuff on the inside. That's available to anybody, ordained or not.
Right.
And we're all going to grow up, because I remember being a baby Christian many years ago, and it reminds me of the scripture in Ephesians 4:11, where he talks about the Hebrew writer says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's kingdom. And that's what we were talking about today, kingdom. You know, that is kingdom. And I thank God for you guys, you men of God, I keep calling you guys, for my brothers in Christ, calling up and helping us to clarify. Because you cannot be a warrior. You can not be a warrior on the front line until you have stepped into kingdom. You cannot be a warrior, a church warrior, not just simply a church warrior, but you must be a kingdom warrior. You must be a kingdom individual, like being in the Marines or the Army. My sister, Jackie Bowie, I believe she's listening, Jacqueline Bowie, and she is getting ready to be Sergeant Major in the Army. She's in school now, training for her promotion in June of next year. She has worked hard all of the years that she's been in the military since she left high school, and that's 20-something years. And she's gone through college in the Army, that she now is she has her undergrad and her master's, and she's looking at her doctorate. Now, all the while advancing throughout the ranks of the military. But that woman will tell you that has been a serious journey for her, that she didn't have time to play, that she had to be disciplined, and she had to study, and she had to make some tough decisions. And she had sometimes when she wanted to play and spend time with her family, she was doing the business of the military. And that's what Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So that woman of God has thought, and she's a woman of God. When she got saved, Pastor Anthony took me to church. I got saved, then she got saved. First she said, well, that's all right. But then she walked up in the church, got saved, took that whole little Bible, that New Testament Bible that they give us, green and orange, and she read that whole Bible, started calling me up, asking me questions. And I had been saved for a while, 6 months before her, and I didn't know half the stuff that she knew, that she was asking me. But this woman was serious about her walk with God. And that's what we're talking about, getting serious about the things of God and being disciplined, you know, as kingdom. You talked about that yesterday, Dr. Aubrey, being serious as kingdom citizens.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to claim to have the uniform on, it's best to, you know, get real, because I don't want to walk around dressed in Marine garb and I'm not willing to use my weapons, and the enemy is out there and may identify me as not being one of them. What are they going to do? They're going to attack me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Good to pretend.
That's right, because you look like a soldier.
Yeah.
And so if you get shot down, but look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, he said, if you're going to come after me, deny yourself. And in Christendom, this is one of the challenges they're facing, is denying oneself, because there is so much self in the way until we have placed ourselves above God. And it's really taking on the same mentality of the devil.
Yeah.
He said he will exalt himself above God. And this is what we do when we place ourselves above God. It's impossible for us to work, because a lot of people are talking kingdom. They want kingdom, but they're not willing to deny themselves first. But Jesus said, if you want to do it my way, the first way to go is to deny you.
Wow.
Deny yourself.
Wow. And then do we really want it? Because what we want, we will sacrifice for.
Yes.
When we really want something, you know, for the women, you know, you really want a guy, or a guy, if you really want a lady, a woman, you will sacrifice sleep, money, everything, you know, a lot of stuff to get to that person, you know. And it's like, if we really want God, we would get serious about the things of God and chase after him, pant after him as a deer panteth after the waters. But
that's
like
right.
You said, we get to the point, and I think the pulpit has to take a responsibility, because we have preached a doctrine, some of us, that is a gimme doctrine. We have
yes.
preached that bless me doctrine, and we have preached, some of us, that is all about the person and not about the kingdom. It's not
right.
about the body being fit. That's why you have inner wars. You have friendly fire, because it's not about the body being fit together. We attack each other. How can you attack a part of your own body? You know, and we get to the point where we attack each other and we talk about each other and we pull each other down. And we got all these inner wars going on within the church that we can't fight the devil, because all of our strength has been expended fighting each other. And God says it's time to bring all of that to a stop, all of that nonsense to a stop, and get on one accord. Because it was only when they were on one accord that the fire of the Lord was able to fall, that the Holy Ghost was able to come and make a change in the atmosphere. So, wow. We only have, the callers have been listening today. The phone line, the switchboard is full. And the callers have been listening, and I pray that everybody that's listening is being blessed by what's being shared on today. If you want to talk, you can press 1, and we'll put you on the air. 757, you hung up before I could get to you. You can call back, and we'll put you on the air. The chat room, God bless you in the chat room. Those who are in the chat room, you can call in. But we are Refuge. I see you. God bless you. Amen. You can call in and make your comments or remarks in this last 13 minutes. Amen. And I'm going to let the men of God just continue to speak what's on their hearts until we get another caller.
I hope we didn't scare anyone away. but
all one has left, just one person.
Conversation. As I opened up earlier and stated that God is wanting maturity from the people of God, every parent can tolerate for some season all that has to be done as it relates to a baby. But we knew for some reason that was a permanent situation. They wouldn't have much joy. Because they realize that that's a serious problem. Because they envision it sometime, have it being able to witness growth and development of that child into an adult, a healthy adult, where they can have community and sweet fellowship. And that's God's perspective as well. He understands the immaturity that comes with being a baby and growing up in his ways and the things about him. But he understands that is only for a season. He also provides grace for growth and development. And Paul said that the creation groans for the manifestation of the sons.
That's right.
And, you know, the sons of God are able to run Father's business. And
yeah.
A Jewish father would never consider turn his business over to a five-year-old. Never.
Yeah, that's good.
I know Jewish fathers that have done the usual thing, and they're on their third generation.
Yeah.
Of maturity, growth of son, development.
Yeah.
And it gives a father the most pleasure to be able to do that. And so for each of us that are listening and are part of the program, I mean, we should agree with the father for our maturity. You know?
Amen.
Well, what,
Stay with me. Let me put this caller on. Stay with me, Dr. Aubrey. Stay with me. And I want to get this caller in this last 10 minutes. We have a hand raised. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson. Thank you for calling in. Come on and let your voice be heard.
I know you're getting ready to wrap up real quick, but I just wanted to say this has really been a good show on today. I really enjoy hearing from the men of God, and that has been my mission is to get sisters to be more equipped. And my women support what we're doing is the whole armor of God and teaching the women how to be prepared, because you're going to go through battles. I think the church has gotten really slack and lazy. We've gotten comfortable in having things, and now that things are being taken away from us and God is looking for the genuineness in us, it's becoming difficult for us to be able to fight because we've gotten comfortable in the stuff. It was like the children of Israel. They got comfortable in the wilderness. So we've gotten comfortable. And it's not until God begins to take things away from us and tell us, now you got to get ready to go out and battle, it will become uncomfortable. And a lot of us aren't trained for battle. We just don't know how to. And so we've been left out on devices on how to make it through. And it's not until we get beat up and scarred that somebody will come and maybe suggest that you do something another way. And we've forgotten teaching in the church. It is a part of the fivefold ministry, yet you never hear about teachers. You hear about apostles, you hear about evangelism, but you don't hear about teachers. And we need those teachers in the church to teach the babies, not just the babies who just got saved a week ago, the babies that have been in church for 12, 13 years who still don't know how to fight. So we got a lot of them that don't know how to fight. And they're scared, and I dealt with them on yesterday. And I'm just like, wow, this is something else. You've been here longer than me, and y'all don't know how to fight the devil. Y'all still going through the same thing. So in a certain
Amen.
As a child of God, I got to say, I'm going to help as many sisters as I possibly can, because I can't see that you get beat up like this.
Amen. Praise God. And that's what it's all about, because they are our body. We're all one. You know, when we stop looking at ourselves, Dr. Aubrey alluded to that, when we stop looking at ourselves as separate entities, but when we look at ourselves as a unified, as a unit, one unit, which is the body of Christ, who the government was given to, that the government rests on his shoulders, as Isaiah says. So we have to realize that we are the body of Christ walking through the earth. But he said it twice, Dr. Aubrey, you said it twice, the earth is groaning. The whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. And I'm glad you called an evangelist out to let your voice be heard, because men and women, this is a clarion call that we have to step up to the plate, stand up and grow up and gear up, suit up, and take our rightful position in kingdom. In the kingdom, not in the church, but in the kingdom of God. But in order to do that, you, as you heard earlier, you have to come to church.
That's right.
We got to get back to church, not on the internet. Some people, we have a service. Some people want to just go to church on the internet. No, you need to go out and assemble yourself in the house of the Lord and bring your gift with you to the church.
Pastor, man, I just put my business. You hit on a very important point. Let me say this. I'm going to share a secret I have, okay? I want to become a keyboard player, and I want to be a real good one. So what I'm going to do is
I'm going to lock myself in a room for the next year and a half or two with some books and a keyboard and some other things. And I guarantee you, after that, the end of that period, I can come out playing the keyboard very well for any of you to love and enjoy. However, coming to church is not the same kind of thing. It's about developing character. And you cannot develop character locked away in a room someplace. You've got to be with people. Help character develop. And to develop godly character, you've got to be among the people of God and some wicked folk as well. So you get the practice. So this idea, you know, people say, well, you know, I can serve God without going to church. Well, you watch TV, you watch so-and-so on the TV and all that, they're in church. You know. But we have to come and let iron sharpen iron. Well, you know, I don't get along with people. People are always doing this. Listen, if you're going to serve God and if you're going to be with Christ for all eternity, you have to learn to be with people.
Yes. Wow. That's the truth. We have one more caller. That's good, Dr.
That's right.
One more caller. Area code 973, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast. Let your voice be heard.
Hi, God bless you, Pastor Becca, and everyone on the panel today. This is Sister Tina calling in. I just want to call in real quick to say that this show was awesome. The word that went forth was great. Actually, to me, it just added to the conference we had last week. Everything that was said, like if you take what the information is, you take from last week, even with Prophet Singletary talking about on Friday being suited up. And suited up means like, suited up for the kingdom, being aware, being disciplined, reading your word, being ready for that battle. So everything they taught today was just tools to add to what you learned last week. So thank you for the blessed word that went forth, and the conference was a blessing. So I just wanted to say that real quickly.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you, daughter. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, we only have 3 minutes. In this 3 minutes, I want to introduce Dr. Aubrey and have you let everyone know where your church is, and also Pastor Larry, let people know where they can find you, men of God. Thank you so much for calling in. Evangelist Cynthia Robinson has a show on Thursdays at 8, between 8 and 9, right here on Blog Talk Radio, God's Daughters Ministries, right here where she empowers women, and exactly what we're talking about. So tune in to her on Thursdays at 8 Eastern Standard Time. So Dr. Aubrey, if you could just let us know how we can get in touch with you, let us know where your website is, where your church is, and then Pastor Larry, if you could do the same, I would greatly appreciate that.
I have the honor of being the pastor of the Newark Gospel Tabernacle Church right here in the great city of Newark, and we're located on South Orange Avenue, right at the corner of Stuyvesant Avenue. We're there, our building is the old movie theater that's soon will be becoming a arts and cultural center as well. Still be our worship space. And it's a historic landmark. It's being restored. And that's where we meet for worship. For example, on tomorrow at 11 o'clock sharp, and we do start on time. And Friday nights at 7:30, we're there for Bible study. And on Friday evenings, we're there for prayer. We would invite anyone, if you're in the area or live near there, you're welcome to come by. But that's where we are, and our website is www.newarktab.org. Be blessed.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming by and blessing us on today. I knew the people would be blessed. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Pastor Larry.
Yes, ma'am. We are a Christian Family Faith Center. We are located at 10714 South Wentworth Avenue in the city of Chicago. We are here on Blog Talk on Wednesdays at the 4 o'clock hour. And you can also catch us on Fridays at 11:30 a.m. on www.rejoice1023.com. And so we bless God for what he's doing here in Chicago.
Amen. And I've been there, and you have awesome ministry over there. Thank you so much for calling in and helping us out with this topic on today, because you were anointed. Both of you were anointed for this topic. God bless you, sir.
Bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Well, praise God. Honey, did you have anything as we have one more minute to go off the air?
No, I believe Dr. Aubrey and Pastor Larry just blessed us today. When they listen to the archives, I believe something's going to be activated in the spirit realm and is going to invade the natural realm. So something was really activated in the people of God today, not just a dialogue on wisdom or intellect or just throwing stuff out in the air. I believe that something in the atmosphere was just set apart today and set on purpose today. So I believe that it was an effective conversation, and I'm just blessed by the two men of God that really are poured into our spirits on today.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. Thank you for hitting up the archives. We are over 1,100 archives a show. Every broadcast, we're up to 1,100 listeners. So we just thank God for all of you who hit these archives and listen to the archives. Tell somebody about the Woman to Woman to Man show. Next week, Sister Tina Lane will be my guest. We'll be talking about teen dating abuse. Get your teenagers, get parents come, and we're going to be informed on what's happening in the lives of our teenagers. And we're going to teach our teenage girls and boys that love is not abuse. Amen. And just begin to pour out some wisdom in that area to help our teenagers be more wise in the area of dating. I know a lot of people say teens shouldn't be dating, but look, they are. So we want to talk about that. Tina Lane will be my guest on next week at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you, too, can call in and let your voice be heard, because it's always the lines are always open. So God bless you. Come to our church to visit. We're at New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. We would love to have you come. We have our noonday service on Wednesdays right here on Blog Talk Radio, and also prayer on Tuesday night between 8 and 9. We invite you to come. Go over to our website at nccmonline.org and pick up a copy of one of my books. Amen. You will be blessed. So go in peace and serve the Lord, knowing that God loves you, and so do we. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Go in peace and serve the Lord.